J.C. Ryle's Devotional Thoughts on the Gospel of Luke, Section 51. Jesus sends out the 12 apostles. Luke chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, Take nothing for your journey, neither staves nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide, and thence depart. And whosoever will not receive you, when ye go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. And they departed, and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. These verses contain our Lord's instructions to his 12 apostles when he sent them forth the first time to preach the gospel. The passage is one which throws much light on the work of Christian ministers in every age. No doubt the miraculous power which the apostles possessed made their position very unlike that of any other body of men in the church. No doubt in many respects they stood alone and had no successors. Yet, the words of our Lord in this place must not be confined entirely to the apostles. They contain deep wisdom for Christian teachers and preachers for all time. Let us observe firstly that the commission to the apostles contains special reference to the demons and bodily sickness. We read that Jesus gave them authority over all demons and to cure diseases. We see here, as in a looking glass, two of the principal parts of the Christian minister's business. We must not expect him to cast out evil spirits, but we may fairly expect him to resist the devil and all his works, and to keep up a constant warfare against the evil prince of this world. We must not expect him to work miraculous cures, but we may expect him to take a special interest in all sick people, to visit them, sympathize with them, and help them, if needful, as far as he can. The minister who neglects the sick members of his flock is no true pastor. He must not be surprised if people say that he cares for the fleece of his sheep more than for their health. Likewise, the minister who allows drunkenness, blasphemy, impurity, reveling and the like to go on among his congregation unreproved is omitting a plain duty of his office. He's not warring against the devil. He's no true successor of the apostles. Let us observe, secondly, that one of the principal works which the apostles were commissioned to take up was preaching. We read that our Lord sent them to preach the kingdom of God, and that they went through the towns preaching the gospel. The importance of preaching as a means of grace might easily be gathered from this passage, even if it stood alone, but it is but one instance among many of the high value which the Bible everywhere sets upon preaching. It is, in fact, God's chosen instrument for doing good to souls. By it, sinners are converted, inquirers led on, and saints built up. A sound preaching ministry is absolutely essential to the health and prosperity of a visible church. The pulpit is the place where the chief victories of the gospel have always been won. No church has ever done much for the advancement of true religion in which the pulpit has been neglected. Would we know whether a minister is a truly apostolic man? If he is, then he will give the best of his attention to his sermons. He will labor and pray to make his preaching effective, and he will tell his congregation that he looks to preaching for the chief results on souls. The minister who exalts the sacraments or rituals of the church above preaching may be a zealous, earnest, conscientious, and respectable minister, but his zeal is not according to knowledge. He is not a follower of the Apostles. Let us observe, thirdly, that our Lord charges his apostles, when he sends them forth, to study simplicity of habits and contentment with such things as they have. He bids them take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra tunic. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. In part, these instructions apply only to a peculiar period, but in part, these instructions contain a lesson for all time. The spirit of these verses is meant to be remembered by all ministers of the gospel. The leading idea which the words convey is a warning against worldliness and luxurious habits. Well would it be for the world and the church if the warning had been more carefully heeded. From no quarter has Christianity received such damage as it has from the hands of its own ministers. On no point have its ministers erred so much and so often as in the matter of personal worldliness and luxury of life. They have often destroyed, by their daily lives, the whole work of their lips. They've given occasion to the enemies of religion to say that they love ease and money and earthly things far more than souls. From such ministers may we pray daily that the church may be delivered. They are a living stumbling block in the way to heaven. They are helpers to the cause of the devil and not of God. The preacher whose affections are set on money and finery and feasting and pleasure-seeking has clearly mistaken his vocation. He has forgotten his master's instructions. He is not an apostolic man. Let us observe lastly that our Lord prepares his disciples to meet with unbelief and impenitence in those to whom they preached. He speaks of those who will not receive them as a class which they must expect to see. He tells them how to behave when not received, as if it was a state of things to which they must make up their mind. All ministers of the gospel would do well to read carefully this portion of our Lord's instructions. All missionaries and district visitors and Sunday school teachers would do well to lay it to heart. Let them not be cast down if their work seems in vain and their labor without profit. Let them remember that the very first preachers and teachers whom Jesus employed were sent forth with a distinct warning that not all would believe. Let them work on patiently and sow the good seed without fainting. Duties are theirs, but results are God's. Apostles may plant and water, but the Holy Spirit alone can give spiritual life. The Lord Jesus knows what is in the heart of man. He does not despise his laborers because little of the seed they sow bears fruit. The harvest may be small, but every laborer shall be rewarded according to his labors, not the results.